Harper Audio presents Man in the Woods by Scott Spencer, performed by Christopher Burns. Part 1. The beast in me is caged by frail and fragile bars. Johnny Cash. Chapter 1. It might be for pity's sake, for surely there must be pity for Will Claff somewhere along the cold curve of the universe. But now and again, a woman finds him compelling and offers him a meal, a caress, a few extra dollars, and a place to stay, and lately, that is the main thing keeping him alive. He is thousands of miles away from his home. His income, his job, his professional reputation are all long gone. And now he has been on the run for so long, living out of one suitcase, changing his name once in Minnesota, once in Highland Park, Illinois, and once again in Philadelphia, that it is becoming difficult to remember that just 6 months ago he had his own office, a closet full of suits, and a nice rental off Ventura Boulevard, which he shared with Madeline Powers, who, like Will, worked as an accountant at Bank of America. He used to think that women wouldn't pay you any attention unless you were dressed in decent clothes and had some money to spend. But it isn't true. He has been underestimating the kindness of women. Women are so nice, it could make you ashamed to be a man. Here he was, running for his life, buying his shirts at the dollar store, his shoes at Payless, and getting his hair cut at the Quaker Corner Barber and Beauty College in Philadelphia. Will had a guardian angel there, too, in the form of Dinah Maloney, whom he met while she was jogging with her dog. Dinah, small and bony, with short russet hair, worried eyes, and nervous little hands, was 30 years old, 10 years younger than Will, and she happened to take a breather on the same bench he was sitting on. And somewhere in the conversation, when she told him that she owned a catering service called Elkins Park Gourmet, he said, "You should call it Someone's in the Kitchen with Dinah," and saw in her eyes something that gave him a little bump of courage. He invited her to coffee at a place with outdoor seating, and they sat there for an hour with her dog lashed to the leg of a chair. He told her the same story he had already worked a couple of times. It might have been on Doris in Bakersfield, or Sue Lee in Colorado Springs, or Kirsten in Highland Park, about how he had come to town for a job, only to find that the guy who had hired him had hung himself with his own belt the day before. A lot of women didn't believe this story, and some who did couldn't figure out how that would mean he had almost no money and needed a place to stay. But a small, saving percentage took the story at face value, or decided to trust the good feeling they had about him. Dinah has turned out to be one of those. She was a spiky, truculent sort, wary of customers, suppliers, and competitors, but ready to make Will, she knew him as Robert, the first man ever to spend the night in her house, partly because he seemed to find her attractive, and partly on the weight of her dog's apparent trust of him. "Woody is my emotional barometer," she said. She was a shy, basically solitary woman, an expert in the culinary arts, a baker, a woman who gave off the scent of butter and vanilla, an arranger of flowers, all of which led Will to assume in her an old-fashioned faithfulness. He saw only her plainness, her lack of makeup, her loose-fitting checkered pants, her perforated tan clogs, the dark circles under her eyes from the late hours working corporate dinners and mainline birthday parties, and he assumed that she had a lonely woman's lack of resistance to anyone who would choose her. He had no idea that Dinah had another boyfriend, whom she had been seeing for 6 years, one of the mayor's assistants, a married man whose wife worked in Baltimore on Tuesdays and Thursdays.